Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFO Movies Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to point out that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Ventura Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to UFO Movies India Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. The company is represented by Mr. Rajesh Mishra, Executive Director and Group CEO, Mr. Ashish Malushte, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Siddharth Bharadwaj, CEO, Digital Cinema Network Business of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Mishra for his opening remarks, post which we can start the question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Greetings, everyone, and thank you all for joining our Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. Q2 FY 2026 delivered a steady theatrical performance supported by a diverse slate across languages and genres. July opened on a strong note marked by the release of the romantic drama Saiyaara and the devotional animated epic Mahavatar Narsimha. Meanwhile, films like Malik starring Rajkummar Rao and Kingdom starring Vijay Deverakonda, along with our other mid-budget titles, posted moderate results, reflecting selective audience traction in that segment. August strengthened the momentum with strong footfalls driven by Coolie, the powerhouse starring Rajinikanth, and War 2 starring Hrithik Roshan and Junior NTR, supported by consistent contributions from regional and mid-scale films. While a few titles underperformed, overall occupancies and consumer sentiment remained positive. September sustained the trend with Jolly LLB 3 starring Akshay Kumar, Mirai starring Teja Sajja, and They Call Him OG led by Pawan Kalyan performing well, even as certain titles like Baagi 4 starring Tiger Shroff and The Bengal Files saw mixed outcomes. Overall, Q2 FY 2026 delivered stable footfalls, a balanced slate of content, and strong audience engagement. Robust growth in advertisement and theatrical revenue, supported by solid product sales, further strengthened performance and positioned the business well for the second half of FY 2026. In total, 462 movies were released, including versions in languages during the quarter, compared to 470 in Q2 FY 2025 and 456 in Q1 FY 2026. On the screen network front, our advertising footprint now stands at 3,795 screens. This includes 2,279 multiplex screens and 1,516 single screens. Turning to the key figures for the quarter and half-year ended September 2025, the consolidated revenue for Q2 FY 2026 stood at 1,113 million rupees compared to 968 million in Q2 FY 2025 and 1,090 million compared in Q1 FY 2026. EBITDA stood at 218 million in Q2 FY 2026 compared to 102 million in Q2 FY 2025 and 193 million compared to Q1 FY 2026. The company reported a net profit of 75 million rupees in Q1 FY 2026 compared to a net loss of 9 million rupees in Q2 FY 2025 and a net profit of 65 million in Q1 FY 2026. Regarding half-year performance, consolidated revenues amounted to 2,203 million compared to 1,913 million rupees in H1 FY 2025. EBITDA for H1 FY 2026 6 was rupees 411 million compared to 168 million in H1 FY26. On the PAT front, the company reported a net profit of 140 million in H1 FY26 against a net loss of 50 million in H1 FY25. The consolidated cash as of 30th September was rupees 1,348 million and the net cash was rupees 606 million after considering outstanding debt. Now, looking ahead, the Q3 began on a positive note with the release of films such as Kantara Chapter 1, Sunny Sanskari Ki Tulsi Kumari, Thamma Ek Diwane Ki Diwane, etc. The outlook for the upcoming quarter remains positive with several high-profile releases including Deve Pyar De, Masti 4, Dhurandhar, Tere Ishq Mein, Alpha, Avatar Fire and Ash, and Puna Shivaji Raje Bhosle. With this robust lineup, we remain confident about continuing with the momentum. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all our stakeholders for their continued trust in the company. With this, I open the floor to take your questions. My colleague, Mr. Ashish Maluste, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Siddharth Bharadwaj, CEO, and I will be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rehan Sahed from Chanita Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to the team and thank you for giving me the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First, on the business outlook side. So you have Caravan Talkies that revenue has rebounded sharply this quarter. So can you comment on the sustainability of this uptick and whether there are any plans to expand this rural outreach platform? This is my first question.
Yeah, so the Caravan Talkies business is not a steady state business. That's why we had given very limited advice on this also. Going forward also, we are looking at business coming in from government and corporate agencies. But the way the business is structured, it cannot be predicted exactly. So typically, it was a monsoon period, otherwise it could have been better also, because this is an open air viewing. But going forward, we have decent hopes on this business coming in.
Okay, fair enough. My second question is on the merger side of Scalable Digital. So the merger of Scalable Digital and UFO Software is now complete. So what operational or cost synergies have started to materialize from this integration and how should we look at this impact going forward? Is there any comment you have to put it here?
As regards this merger which got completed last financial year, there were, as regards the operational advantages, synergies, some of those were reaped in by the company when the acquired company or the merged company was made 100% subsidiary. So basically around the time when it became 100% subsidiary, the management of the entire operations were handled by UFO, and to some extent the operating teams were in that operating company, which is Scrabble Digital, were reduced and the workload was shifted to UFO's teams. So in other words, slowly in last 3 years, three and a half years, the synergies were slowly already being reaped in. Going forward, there is no significant cost synergies that we are seeing that are going to come because of this merger. It was a critical task so that the structure of the organization, I mean, of the group looks leaner. And also, Scrabble Digital was very synergetic with the operations of the core business. So we had to, at some stage, take this step. Since it was not a wholly owned subsidiary, we had held it back. But on the cost front, most of it, I would say almost 90% of the, or 95% of the cost benefits are already subsumed in the numbers that you are seeing, at least for last two quarters.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. And my last question is on the, I want to a bit understanding regarding the market industry side. So how is the management weaving the current trajectory of digital cinema adoption in smaller towns? So are there any plans to expand presence beyond the current 1,300 cities that we have?
Yeah, so good question. And in fact, this is where we feel that the upside for this company and this industry lies in two areas. One is increasing the volume and pricing for advertisement, and second is increasing the screen network. And you have rightly pointed out that there is a decent opportunity in the smaller centers or smaller towns. But as you know, that this industry actually went through a very, very tough period post-COVID, and right. I would say that slowly we are getting out of it as an industry. And right. Your company is no different, doesn't have a different fate than the industry's fate. So as an industry, we are slowly emerging out. Firstly, there was a COVID-related problems. Then there were issues around content. And now there were issues about people moving to OTT and not coming in the theaters. But I would say for last at least two and a half quarters, most of these issues are settled in our minds. And most of us are slowly continuing to consume the content in cinema the way we used to do in the past. So for us, what is more critical now is to get our acts together and as an industry and make sure that cinema is back on track the way it was in pre-COVID era. I'm sorry you will hear this COVID thing from us, because we are really, really hurt as an industry because of this onslaught. And we are almost there as an industry, that's what I feel. So once that is done, then there could be focus on the other areas, because the other areas which you said, the smaller centers, there you need to have investment that needs to go in. And the investment would start going in only when the business starts becoming meaningfully viable the way it was in pre-COVID. So I would say, yes, the opportunity is there, but for the opportunity to actually materialize, it would be few years away. Firstly, we should focus on going back to the levels of profitability and business which was there in the company and in the industry in the pre-COVID, that is 19, 20, 18, 19 area.
Okay. And thank you for a detailed answer regarding this industry side. And good luck for your coming quarter.
Thank you, Rehan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Vipul Kumar Anupchand Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a relatively good set of numbers. So my question is, we were doing 5.54 minutes in FY19, right, sir?
Yeah.
I'm talking about advertising minutes. So slowly we are reaching there, but over what time frame we should be reaching there, in your opinion?
So this is Siddharth. This is, your question is a very important question for the company. I think as Ashish just mentioned, there are two challenges. One is getting the volume in of advertising. So in the minutes, it truly reflects the number of, the amount of volume that is coming on board in terms of advertising, advertisers' affinity to come back and embrace cinema as a, you know, preferred advertising platform. So over the last 6 months, we have seen a consistent flow of content coming in, which has brought back the advertisers onto cinema, and they're consistently advertising. However, as Ashish just mentioned, that, you know, we are yet to come back to that level of the same level of footfalls on cinema. We are still missing the big blockbusters, the big mega stars who used to draw disproportionate amount of footfalls to the cinema screens, and as a result, disproportionate amount of demand used to, in terms of minutes, used to come on cinema. Slowly, I think the ship, it's a fairly large ship, it takes time to turn, and we feel that, you know, we are just around the corner, and the pipeline of content that we can foresee for this quarter and the subsequent quarter is fairly robust. There are some large mega blockbusters that are in pipeline, which we expect will not only help drive volume, but would also drive value in terms of ER. So next two quarters will be the quarter we are in, and the quarter four for this financial year should be the turning point where we'll be able to, at least on the volume front, come back to same level, and I think value will follow after that. I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah, I mean, volume means a number of minutes sold, right? And value, yeah, means yield per minute.
Yes.
So in 2019, if I see government was 53% and corporate and hyperlocal was 47%, government share has come down drastically. So have we lost any market share? Means what are the main challenges for attracting government advertising again, sir?
So there are two parts of government advertising. One is state-led advertising, and second one is advertising which is central, right? So which we call DAVP. It comes in from the central releasing agency. These are largely dependent upon the government's willingness to communicate with the audiences. What we feel is the total spends by government on the medium have shrunk dramatically. It depends upon various factors which are beyond the control of your company, right? So they are all dependent upon how government sees the entire environment, right? So we feel that we haven't lost market share, but the pie has shrunk on central advertising by the central agency, which is shrunk dramatically. This whatever revenue we see on the board is largely led by state advertisers, the state governments. The center has shrunk advertising dramatically, and that is largely dependent upon how the government sees the political environment and its need to communicate with the audiences.
So regarding, yes sir. So regarding yield, we are lower in terms of percentage as compared to 2019 by how much?
So yes, so I'll give you the number also, exactly how much it is down, but I would like to bring out the positive side of the situation. Government taking a call of reducing the outreach on digital cinema medium is not a new thing. It is on for last at least three financial years. And ever since that has happened, you
rightly pointed out that at one point in time we were having almost 60% of our revenue coming from central and state governments, and we were very, very apt medium for them to reach out to their audience. But once this happened, your company immediately swung into action and we decided that we need to, in a way, reduce dependency on this one revenue stream to a major extent, what we can manage. And that is where the effort started to push the corporate ad revenue. And therefore, if you actually see the last 3 years' numbers from near zero post-COVID, corporate has really swung back into decent numbers the way we are seeing now. Of course, there's an upside from here as well. But as a result of which, what has happened is there is more certainty and more reliability to the numbers that we are now seeing. We are also hopeful that the government should at some stage start looking positively towards this medium. But assuming that doesn't happen as a worst case, we are now out of those woods that, you know, we were in a difficult situation, half of your revenue has gone. That's not a situation anymore. And what happens is because corporate advertisement in cinema on a large network like yours is not really, really that the pricing cannot be very expensive. And that is where the challenges on pricing has been in corporate segment. The pricing in corporate segment pre-COVID, if I'm correct, was close to 62-64. And now I think it should be in the range of close to 55-60. So we almost, you can say, about 10% lower than pre-COVID, 10-12% in some of the quarters. But government rate used to be almost 20% higher than this. Of course, that is because government used to get a lot of advantages in reaching out to the right audience through us. So government has reduced, therefore the better rates have, better rate business has come down. And as a result of which, when you see a combined yield, that combined yield as compared to 2019 appears to have gone down. The positive side of it is the over-dependency that your company had on the government revenues has to a major extent come down. And on top of it, if government again starts looking at it positively, that will be a great thing for the company.
So yield, the numbers you mentioned are per screen. What is the unit of measurement?
When I say 60 rupee, it means 1 minute of advertisement played in one theater for 60 seconds will cost the advertiser 60 rupee. So as such, the pricing is very, very attractive. But that's that's the kind of pricing that that we use to operate.
So this is Siddharth. So I wanted to further expand on it because this may not give, this should not give a wrong impression. So we have a large network. So this is average yield. So dependent upon what is the mix of screens, what is the, specific weeks, blockbuster rates, they are different. So dependent on content, how the content flow is, the yield changes. So as the content becomes more promising, the yield will automatically improve. So the revival of the yield is also dependent on content. As content improves, your company should start delivering better yield and come back to, the corporate should come back to old levels. So that those are my two bits on yield of advertising.
And sir, my last question is, we have three major verticals, that is exhibitor, distributor, and this in-cinema advertising. So whatever additional delta in profitability will come from advertising vertical only, and the other two verticals are relatively stable revenue streams. So is that understanding correct, or I am missing out something?
All the three revenue streams as it stands now are stable. The instability or the variation part to a major extent has got taken care of as the business has become better as an industry. But the upside what you see from now on would be primarily in the advertisement vertical. As regards the exhibitor vertical and the distributor vertical, that revenues would go up only when the number of screens would go up, and we don't see that to happen in a very big way anytime soon, and therefore those revenue streams would be stable but won't disproportionately grow like how the opportunity is there in the advertisement.
So my last question is, why we cannot we have near monopoly in digital content delivery, right, sir?
Yeah, we can't say monopoly, but yes, we are one of the significant players.
Yeah, so in when we go to the theaters, ticket prices are going through the roof. In where I stay, PVR on weekdays charge 500 plus for any good movie. So why, since we it's a niche business, why we cannot charge more for this digital content? That question, if you can answer, it will be really helpful.
Yeah, so as Ashish said, it is not a monopoly business. There are factors in play, like there is 4 or 5 competitors in the market also. And also this is something which, if we increase the number of amount that we are charging on this beyond a particular point, it will be counterproductive to the whole business segment, because it will start probably curtailing the release of the films. So we believe currently we are sitting at a sweet spot, and there is not any need or there's no movement also that we can take up on something like this, because as I said, this is a competitive market. There are a lot of other players also in the market, so it's not a scenario that only one can decide. Plus, there are exhibitors, distributors, producers. These are all market segments are over there. So, as I said, we believe that this is a sweet spot, and that is the no need to increase this.
So, just one more perspective to this is, if you actually see, you are already at almost 100 crores of revenues on from this stream. You, sir, must also be using Google Maps. And somebody can say Google Maps has a sheer monopoly over all of us. And why is Google not charging, say, 50 bucks or something per month? And that could translate into substantial revenue. But the business model which they have adopted is, let's get the footfalls, or rather the eyeballs on the screen for Google Maps, and then they monetize it in a different way. Not exactly the same way, but in a similar way. What we are trying to do is, we are trying to provide the digital infrastructure services to exhibitors and distributors at a very reasonable cost, thereby attracting them to remain on this leased pay-per-use kind of a digital infrastructure instead of investing on their own. And in return, we are getting the advertisement inventory, which we are monetizing. So a better and a more sensible approach could be to not really make your core offering very expensive when you have a very, very big opportunity possibly at your hand in terms of growing the volume and the yield of your advertisement network. On the same network, you can probably increase your volume by twice and pricing by twice, and all of a sudden you see 4 times your total ad revenue growing up. If that opportunity exists, we felt that, and we have been of that view, that we should focus more on that, not really tweak 5%, 10% on your core offering, which will fetch you 10, 15 crores and a lot of resentment, and then you start becoming more and more expensive as compared to what you were in the past. So this has been philosophy, and we believe that this is a very strong philosophy to push the overall value of the business and the value of the shareholders, once this actually translates into the numbers that we are trying to work towards.
And sir, lastly, regarding revenues from exhibitors, so this lease rental income and sale of products, so the products which we supply them, we source from whom? And the equipment which we rent, we must be also, so how that model works, if you can give some overview.
So the product sales business largely comprises of projectors and servers that are deployed in cinemas. And we source them from Christie, the projectors, and from Panasonic also. and the servers are sourced from Dolby. So the business is a plain business of adding margin and supplying it to the cinemas. The idea is to get more and more into more number of cinemas, and along with this also earn a certain amount of money from sale of products. This is one area where there will be increased focus from our side on sale of products business, and we would also be looking at adding other product lines like sound and other equipments to increase the potential of this business.
Okay, sir, I have further questions, but I'll rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question comes from Majid Ahmed from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Audible, sir?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Very good result, sir. Sir, my first question, sir, is that I just want to understand what was the levers for the improvement of the gross margins, like from 51.5% last year to 55%? So, like, what type of mix were you able to change to get to such high gross margins this quarter? That's my first question, sir. And secondly, what is your CapEx guidance going forward? Like, what type of screen additions that you're looking this year?
So your first question on better gross margins, the business is structured such that a better ad revenue translates into substantially better margin. Every incremental rupee that we earn from advertisement, almost 65% of that would get into my PBT. That's the kind of business model that we have. That's because the core costs relating to advertisement, fixed costs, which is sharing with theater, is currently at a high level of fixed sharing. And unless a particular threshold is broken, our obligation to pay them further doesn't arise. So that is called minimum guarantees that we have paid them. And as a result of which, you would continue to see this kind of a betterment in margins as the advertisement revenue in that quarter or a YOY basis, if it improves, like what has happened now. So that's a simple answer, because the business is in that way simply structured. As regards your second question about CAPEX, the CAPEX guidance we had given even in the earlier calls, that this year we are looking in the range of 40-45 crores of CAPEX, and that is primarily to maintain the network. As the projectors and the servers get old, we need to replace them, and that is a cost that we are looking at. Incrementally, there are new screens which also come up, and some of this CAPEX also goes into the equipment that we supply to this new screen. So overall, that's the CAPEX guidance that we have, we had for the current year, and we, even in the middle of the year, halfway through, we are on track with respect to that CAPEX guidance that we had initially projected.
Sir, just on the follow-up on the advertisement revenue, like you have said, there is some minimum guarantee. So, would it remain same or would it improve? Just want to understand that part.
For a contractual period, when the minimum guarantee is given, it remains fixed. So, if it is, say, for 2 years, and if I have given your theatre a minimum guarantee of 15,000 rupees per month, then it will remain 15,000 only, whether I generate 20,000, 25,000, 40,000. So, the moment, in this example, first quarter, if I have generated 20,000, my margin is 5,000. And in the second quarter, if I have generated 30,000, my margin goes up to 15,000, and I don't have an obligation to pay you because you are in my contract is for 2 years. When the contract comes up for renewal, there are different dynamics which come into play: the market condition, the theater's condition, the footfalls in the theaters, the importance of the theater in overall product mix for us. And at that point in time, there are negotiations that happen, and there could be upward revision when the contracts come to an end. Many times those are renewed almost at the same level. But that's not a rule.
Oh, got it. So it gets fluctuated on a year-on contractual basis.
Yeah, it's fluctuates as per the contract for every theater.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Vipul Kumar Anupchansha from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
So, sir, if I am joining call after a very long time, so if I remember correctly, we had exhibition business under Nova Cinema, right, sir?
Yes.
So what is the current status of that business? How many screens we are running, and what is the financials, I mean, EBITDA of that business, if you can comment?
So we are operating 3 screens in North and 3 three are under progress at a different levels in Maharashtra. One of that is operational. The results so far are not very encouraging from these centers. These centers were in population which was sub 50,000. We had picked it up. One of the previous questions whether the screen network would go up in India or no, and this is where our efforts were to actually put it as a proof of concept that the centers can be put and can be made profitable. Probably the timing was not the most opportune timing in terms of the content flow. Also, in northern part, there were issues in licensing, so only one of the two screens could operate. Nevertheless, we have not seen very healthy traction from the viewers in that region. So this model, it appears that may not really pick up in sub 40,000 or 30,000 population markets. We need to probably look at slightly bigger centers, a lakh of population, which can supply the kind of footfalls that are needed for the theater to sustain. So as of now, those three centers are not really performing the way we thought they would perform. But having said that, there was not a significant investment that your company had made in those centers. It was more like a dipstick kind of effort from our side to check whether the business can be shaped in that direction, not directly by us. If it would have worked well, in many of these centers across the country, people would have put up theaters and we would have provided them service and they would have become part of our network. That is what the bigger game plan was from our side. But as it stands today, at least these three centers have not given the results that we thought. Nevertheless, we never know whether the things would change if the content supply is more relevant to those centers, and therefore we'll keep our assessment of these centers on. But financially, there's really, really no major damage or effect on the company because the centers are not doing well.
So the capex figure of 50-60 crores you just mentioned, so can you split it between the three divisions? Means which?
All of that goes in theatrical. I don't need to put any capex for advertisement because advertisement piggybacks on the core business. I don't have to put separate investment into the distribution revenue stream because the capex that I put in is basically for the benefit of both the distributors as well as the exhibitors. When I put an investment in a theater and make it digital, that time the benefit of that is reaped both by the exhibitor and the theater. However, from revenue point of view, we have two separate charges. One we charge to the exhibitor, one we charge to the distributor. That's our way of, in a way, trying to increase the pie of both these constituents, distributors and exhibitors, and then take a part of the share from both of them instead of loading the entire fee on one of them, say, charging everything to a theater and thereby making the proposition expensive for the theater and allowing the distributors to take the entire benefit of the higher pie that has generated because of the capex that we have invested. So basically the capex goes in my core business, which is theatrical business,
there are two revenue streams to it, exhibitor and distributor. For advertisement, there is no separate capex that we have to put in.
Okay. And, sir, so over a
50-60 crores, sir, we gave an estimate of about 40-45 crores.
Okay. And over a five-year period, where do you see the advertised revenue and advertised minutes sold if there are no negative surprises or bumps along the road?
Sir, our company has always stayed away from giving any future-looking statements or indications. As it stands today, we are really, in a good shape today, but coming out of a very bad phase. So we actually look at quarter-on-quarter basis or 6 months basis how the business should be rebuilt. And it will be too optimistic to give any kind of a 4-5 years estimate. But yes, upside is huge. We are selling only 4.5 minutes. The pricing is also attractive. So the upside remains huge. When we should be able to monetize it is a question which can be answered only with the help of a better content and a better outlook if the advertisers start having towards this medium.
So, sir, last question. So you said you have a fixed contract with the theaters. So if hypothetically, if our minutes scale up from 4.5 to 10, entire upside will remain with you only, right? That understanding is correct?
Absolutely. And that is what you have seen in this quarter. For instance, when you see year on year, the entire upside that we have got, wherever there was a fixed minimum guarantee contract, the upside came to UFO. But at the same time, when we had a tough times in COVID, we were obliged to pay or required to pay the minimum guarantee when the revenues were not certain whether they will reach the MG level. But we are past that situation now.
Okay, sir, and thank you and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Dia Kane from Safia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand what revenue growth can we expect this year and if the 20% EBITDA margins are sustainable for the next quarter.
With this kind of advertisement revenue, obviously the margins would stay where they are. At the same time, the quarter three last year was very, very good because there was one major movie, one of the one-time, lifetime kind of a movie, which was Pushpa 2. And that had given a major support to digital cinema industry on all fronts and also the cinema industry. We don't see any such movie in this quarter. Plus, surprisingly, the Diwali was also relatively muted for cinema industry after a very long time. Having said that, the content flow is there. But last quarter was really, really good, one of quarters, last year's quarter, Q3. Nevertheless, we are hopeful that the kind of revenues that we have clocked in should be able to continue at the same level in coming quarters, and if things fall in place, then there will be a decent growth also, except the Q3 of last year, which was disproportionately higher. So yes, as regards the margins, the revenues remain at the same level, the margins would also remain at the same level.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Krishna, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. So I have been investing in this company from the near to that IPO times in 2017-18. So I saw there is a huge variation, and I am seeing also the sales and profits in Corona also was very bad. So hopefully the trend will be positive and we'll come back to the to a respectable level. That's what I also expect. So hope that the company also feels so. Sorry.
In terms of financial performance, sir?
Yeah, in both actually, in financial performance and in the levels which we were quoting in 2017-18. So hopefully that trend can come back for the company, sir.
Certainly is in our control is the performance. We really are nobody when it comes to the market. Levels and market prices, and we don't think that should be the objective or any area for the management to look into. So we focus on the business and the performance. And as some of the previous questions, we tried to explain that after a very very tough COVID period, we are slowly now as an industry bouncing back, and as a company, we have bounced back better. Hoping this trend will continue, so the profitability will. Should go back to those levels. With one hurdle which we are still facing is where governments have almost stopped the spending on this medium, and that has caused a major damage to us. But we are also getting out of it by expanding our bouquet of offerings to other customers in advertisements.
And so in 2017-18, I saw that the sales were at 160 per quarter, 160 crores per quarter. So can we expect that to happen in the next two, three years or long time back?
No, sir, we didn't get your question. Can you repeat that question?
In 2017-18, I saw the sales per quarter was around 160, 165 crores. So, going forward, can we expect the same to happen, or is this just
okay? Got your point, sir. So, there was one major chunk of revenue that time, which was sunset revenue, which was a 5-year business, and we were to get out of that business. And related details were given to the market from time to time, and also on the earning call as to how it's only a 5-year period. Where we had installed equipments of DCI category, and we were to generate revenue for 5 years, and then that revenue was going to stop both on the VPA front primarily in India and international. And that chunk which has reduced is a permanent loss. But having said that, that was a limited period revenue, and we had never projected that revenue is going to stay or increase. So, when you look at 165, 170, almost 45, 50 crores of that would be from 35 crores of that would be from the distributor revenue. Part of that has gone away because of sunset.
Okay. But we have right though. We have some other area. Of business also, right? We have some other
most certainly. Most certainly. That was not something which we were really banking on heavily. That was a business that came our way, which allowed us to make money for 5 years. We made money, and we also distributed handsome dividends in that period, which was sort of a one-off kind of a period revenue.
Okay. So hopefully that same trend should continue going forward. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But the result was good this half year, so hopefully I am expecting that things should go good actually. Hope the same from your end also.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Sure. We also have a same expectation.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have a question from Vipul Kumar Anupchan Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, our founder, Mr. Gayakwadi, is still with the company, because since I'm attending this call after a long time. So,
very much. He is the person who thought of this revolution in India, made it happen, set up this professional company, and he is very much the managing director of the company. And all the disclosures, you can see him as the managing director. He's very much there at the helm.
Okay, sir. So yours looks to be interesting turnaround. So I want to understand more. So whom should I contact if I want appointment
so
of any?
I have your number, and my IR team, which is headed by Himal, will get in touch with you. And in any information which is not a public disclosure related, something which needs to be in public domain, we cannot share it selectively. But
About the business, we certainly can share the information with you, how the business is structured and about the industry, which is already in the public.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I should contact Hamal, right? Yeah.
He will get in touch with you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. That would be the last question for the day. Now, I hand over the floor to Mr. Rajesh Mishra for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining today's call. We value your time and continued engagement with our business. Our team remains available for any further queries or clarifications. We appreciate your support and look forward to updating you again next quarter. Thank you once again.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.